Dad has a girlfriend named Lorraine. Likes a lot. She's pretty as a peach. And then one day at work, a new girl started working at his office. Her name was Clearly, and he's absolutely gorgeous. After a while, it becomes obvious that she's interested in Daniel. But Daniel, being a loyal man, won't get involved with Clearly while he's still going out with Lorraine. He decides to break up with Lorraine and date the new girl. Plans several times to tell her, but he just can't bring himself to do it. One day, as they're walking along the riverbank, Lorraine slips in and falls in the river, and the current sweeps her away, and she just drowns. Daniel sort of stops for a moment by the river, but instead of jumping in after her to help, he runs off smiling, singing, "I can see clearly now, Lorraine is gone."
I knew it was going to be bad when you started it.
Bad when I started it. Today I'm content. What's that look for? Today I'm continuing.
Even the babies, they're
yeah.
crazy.
Today I'm continuing a series. I'm unshakable. I'm not going to do a special Mother's Day message. No song parodies. But I will share this poem before I get started. God's Masterpiece by Herbert Freeham. It says this: God took the fragrance of a flower, the majesty of a tree, the gentleness of morning dew, the calm of a quiet sea, the beauty of the twilight hour, the soul of starry night, the laughter of a rippling brook, the grace of a bird in flight. Then God fashioned from these things a creation like no other, and when his masterpiece was through, he just simply called it Mother. So, for all our mothers who are here watching online, Happy Mother's Day! Check this out.
Hey, Luna. I need help finding a gift for my wife for Mother's Day.
Okay. Based on your wife's shopping history, I found her a gift she is sure to love. It's called Simply Boiling 100 Easy Soup Recipes for Busy Moms.
Yeah, because nothing says Happy Mother's Day like fix me some wet vegetables. Oh. Come on, Luna. We got a razzle-dazzle her.
Okay, searching for razzle-dazzle. How about a 14-karat diamond tennis bracelet from the Lux Life collection?
Diamonds? That escalated quickly.
It's rated at 4.9 stars, one reviewer writes. I had to sell my car, but my wife smiled for the first time in 11 years.
Oh, great. Okay, so let's just recap things. So far, my options are fix me dinner or liquidate the 401k. What else you got?
Compiling more options. How about a novelty coffee mug that says, "Mommin' ain't easy."
Actually, that says I panic shopped at Walgreens.
Understood. I found a cute bathroom entry rug that says, "Knock again and you're grounded."
Look at you, inching towards relevance.
Also, there is a matching toilet mat that reads, "Welcome to the last 3 square feet of mom's sanity."
As tempting as it is, no. Let me break this down for you. My wife, she loves us with all that she is. She's the first one up in the morning and the last one to bed at night. She cheers us on as if we're Olympic athletes, even if all we're doing is gluing macaroni to cardboard, which is what I gave her for Mother's Day last year. I thought it would be cute. It wasn't. She gives so much of herself every day. Not for praise, not for credit. And she has this quiet strength that comes from her love for God. And she gives us way more grace than we deserve. Oh. And when the wheels start to fall off, somehow she keeps us moving forward. How do I get a gift that says all that?
I got it. A thoughtful greeting card with a promise to keep your dirty finger out of the peanut butter jar.
Can you put that in my heart?
So your moms are incredible, but how many of you are thankful that we have a God in heaven?
Amen.
Last week we read the scripture that we have a God in heaven. Mm-hmm. And I've met so many people that believe if you just follow our God in heaven, that, everything just sort of fall into place. Like if you just believe in God and, give him your whole life, God will always, make your life easier. And I wish that were true. Truth is, when you devote your life to God, it doesn't mean it will eliminate hardship. Jesus even said, in this world you will have troubles. But they ain't the good news. He says, but take heart, I've overcome the world. So it's good news on top of that, in spite of that. So the truth is, rain falls on the just and the
unjust.
Can't get away from it. It's always there. And so, and honestly, serving God faithfully oftentimes makes you a target. As a matter of fact, when you live in boldly for God, your spiritual enemy, when you have one, tends to take notice. And here's the thing, you ever feel like you're just under attack?
Sometimes.
Truth is, you might be under attack. There's also some who believe that if things are getting difficult or, life's not going quite right, that, for some reason I must be out of God's will. And you might be. I'm not saying that's not an option. I'm not saying it's not there, but it also could mean that when things are getting difficult and things are getting hard and things are going wrong, it might be that that's the evidence you need that you're doing something right for God. That, you're in the will of God. Because people, again, the enemy takes notice. He doesn't like when you're doing life with God correctly and for the glory of God. And he's taking notice and he's come after you.
That's right.
And I want you to remember that because I want you to remember that we have this a spiritual attack. Isn't a sign that you're out of the will of God, doing something wrong. It might be, and often is a evidence that you're doing something right. And so we're going to start today with that truth. We're going to see that truth happen and lay out and come together and how it took place in Daniel chapter 6. Last we started in Daniel chapter 1, and we're going to jump ahead 5 chapters. And over the next couple weeks, I'll come back to some of the previous chapters and go through there and all that as we go through the series. But today I want to talk about another story in Daniel that I'm sure most of you have heard of. Probably heard it once or twice. Daniel in the lion's den. You know that one?
Yeah.
Remember that story? Yeah. Many of you know that, I've been in ministry for over 40 years of some sort, children's ministry. And I started, my ministry actually started with children, when I got in church. And I was in charge of not just, doing something, I was leading Sunday school. I mean, I was sort of directing that whole thing. And so I led it and I taught it. And I'm going to date myself a little bit because, well, I already said 40 years of ministry, so I've already dated myself some anyway. But one of the things that we used to use in that was this thing that they called felt boards.
Oh, yeah.
And these felt boards, I mean, they had figures of Daniel and these really cute looking lions and, it's like the lions weren't too intimidating and on the felt board thing. I mean, they really, I think the story, they're a lot meaner than what the felt showed them to be. And they're quite, not likewise cute either. And then if you didn't have a felt board, you had this other beautiful prop. Finger puppets.
Oh,
they were like awesome. Here's the good news. Maybe it's not good. I'm not gonna use either one of those props for today. Sorry for the disappointment. I'm not gonna use either one. I know, so I'm sorry if you're disappointed, but but in the story, we read in the Bible that Daniel trusted God always. Including when he was in the lion's den. Now, if you remember in the story, Did God save him, or did he become the lunch? Do you remember the story? God saved him. Yeah, that's right. And that's important because we're going to look at that today. We have Daniel, he's like, I trust God. Now, remember from last week when we talked about Daniel, he was somewhere in his teens, maybe 14, 15 when they actually got taken in captivity. He's a young teenager, not that old. So here we are jumping ahead now, five chapters later, he's probably 70s, maybe 80 at this time of his life when this story took place. So he's, you know, obviously Daniel, you know, five chapters was a long time frame for the life of Daniel. And when you understand that, it makes it makes the story a lot more impactful to know that he wasn't just some teenage kid that just got thrown into a pit. He was actually some 80-year-old guy that was struggling. And, you know, so he was around 80, probably had a lot more wisdom now than what he did back when he first got captured and taken to captivity. But I'm going to show you why this is so meaningful. He's in his 80s. Daniel's had served under four different kings, and he was taken away and deported to Babylon. Four different kings. Now, he served under Nebuchadnezzar, that, as we looked at last week, and he was in his leadership. He was the evil king that captured Babylon, took all the places, conquered Jerusalem, took him to, you know, he's the king of Babylon, conquered Jerusalem, took God's people, deported them, this nation, into the Babylonian captivity. And then there's King Belshazzar. It's spelled a little different than the name Daniel was given while he was in captivity, by King Nebuchadnezzar. And King Belshazzar was actually Nebuchadnezzar's grandson. So that's who's on the throne during this whole time frame that he was there. And then if you remember the writing on the wall, the story of the writing on the wall, that was King Nebuchadnezzar's era, that story's there. And he was actually later assassinated. And then you have King Darius. Darius is who we're going to talk about today. In a couple of weeks, we're going to go back to Cyrus, and he was actually the Persian king who conquered Babylon and told the Jewish people, go ahead, go back to your hometown, homeland. That's, we're going to look at Cyrus in the next week or two. And I must just say this. During 7 decades of captivity, Daniel shared his faith with 4 different kings. And I want you to see how he did it. But first, I want you to notice, he didn't criticize them. He didn't condemn them. He didn't call them stupid and demonic because they had a different political view. But through 4 different regimes, Daniel consistently and lovingly shared his faith in God. And he influenced kings without compromising his convictions. Let me say it again. With love, faithfulness, and consistency, he influenced kings without compromising his convictions. Now let me start Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. This is good. Check this out. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with 3 administrators over them, one of whom is Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now this is where it gets really good. Verse 3. Now Daniel was so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him above or over the whole kingdom. Now satrap, in case you don't know what that is, that's like a governor. So that's 120 governing people across the kingdom. Back to our text. Daniel did what? He so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps. Why? Because he had exceptional qualities that the king planned to promote him. The king planned to put him over the whole kingdom. I love that. Daniel, because his faith in God so distinguished himself that he stood out and the king took notice and said, I think you're good for promotion. I think I can probably trust you for promotion. And now the Hebrew word translated as distinguish is the word mitnasa. Say that, mitnasa. Does that sound cool? Mitnasa. M-I-T-N-A-S-S-A-H. Mitnasa. This is the only time in the Hebrew Bible that that Hebrew word is used. And the word means to excel, to stand out, to prevail, or to distinguish. So Daniel was excelled. Daniel so excelled. He stood out. He served with such faithfulness, with such compassion, with such love that he was so excellent in all that he did that the people took notice. He distinguished himself so much the king said, I think you should be promoted. Mitnasa. Now hear this, church, as believers, wherever you work, whatever you do, whatever you serve, wherever you post, whatever you, how you treat people, you should do it with Manasa. You should thrive. You should excel. You should always bring your A game. As believers, we should stand out in the places that we are, that we work, as being a people who are good at good to our word, faithful and true. We show up early, not last minute. We don't spend 20 minutes in the bathroom. You don't take a smoke break every hour. That's a little personal. I see that work out. But you bring your best. Treat people well. Honor those around you. We should, as believers, stand out.
That's right.
Be different. The Apostle Paul said this way, Colossians chapter 3, and whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him to the glory of God. We're representing Jesus. Wherever we are, we might be the only Bible, the only scripture people see, actually, so we've got to make sure we represent him well. Amen?
Amen?
Whatever you do, whatever it is, you do it with all the representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. You, with Menitza. We distinguish ourselves. We stand out. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but there seems to be a lot of griping going on in our culture today. You know, I don't know. I mean, they're griping about the president. They're griping about how dark the world is. They're saying that the world's going to hell in a handbasket. I don't even know what that means, what that actually phrase even means. Somebody going to hell in a handbasket. I don't know how that can happen. I think it takes a lot more handbasket to get there.
Big handbasket.
Yeah, big handbasket. And maybe some of it's legit. Maybe some of it is, but is in these times when it might be seen dark and around us and the culture and that we as Christians, we as believers, we as followers of Jesus must stand out and be light. It's time when we should thrive and excel and do and love well. Have grace. Whenever the world grows darker, the light should shine brighter. We should be so distinguished that you stand out in how you care for people, love people, serve people, treat people. We excel. We're distinguished. In our story, there's other leaders. They saw Daniel as was doing just that. You know, he was excelling. He was doing that. And they caught their attention. He was the teacher's pet. And so what they do, did they aspire to be like him? ask for pointers on how to be better? No, they actually hated him. They were jealous of him. Here's what scripture tells us. Daniel chapter 6, verse 4. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel and his conduct of government affairs. But they were unable to do so. They could not find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. That's Daniel. They wanted so much to find something so bad. They wanted so bad to find something, just something, so that they could get on Facebook and post it and say, we found something about Dan that we didn't like. Dan finally found a weakness. We found it. They just waited so long so they could make that post so the whole world knows. And they tried to find grounds for charges, Daniel, in his conduct or of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could not find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. So plan A didn't work. Time to move on to plan B. They always have a plan B. So what did they do next? They did the very same thing that happens today. The very same thing that people have been doing today. They tried to get canceled. Maybe you thought cancel culture was just something new that happened in our lifetime. No, it happened back in the days of Daniel. They tried to get the guy canceled. Cancel culture was real back then. Maybe that's why Ecclesiastes said there's nothing new under the sun. You know, just maybe different ways of doing what has always been done. So since plan A didn't work, then you went to plan B. Here's plan B. Finally, these men said, we will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God. So there's nothing, we know Daniel's just too bright. He's trustworthy. He's not corrupt. We can't buy him out. We can't corrupt his government political agenda. There's nothing we can do to buy this guy. So we gotta find, it must be something we can do. There's gotta be something. So they said, it has to do something with the law of his God. So they couldn't find any corruption. The dam was trustworthy. These men decided they would attack what he honored most. Something that had to do with his God. See, they're looking for something wrong with him. There has to be something wrong with this damn. There's got to be something that we need to find it. We need to post it. We need to point it out. It's making us look bad. So that's the intro. Now that's the foundation of my message. I want to get to the heart of what I have. And I'm going to give you three qualities of unshakable impact. Three qualities of unshakable impact. In a world that's growing darker and darker, how do we as people of God shine brighter and brighter? Thought number one is this. We serve God with integrity. We serve God with integrity. Daniel served God with integrity. So much so that the king wanted to promote him. And the other leaders, well, they didn't really like it. They were jealous of it because of it. And they said, let's find something, anything we can with this guy. Let's look at it again. Daniel chapter 4 again. Back up to verse 4. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel and his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could not find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. I mean, that's a pretty good legacy to have.
That's right.
They could find nothing in him. They could find no corruption. They could find nothing in him. So because he was trustworthy. And so the Babylonian leaders, they were looking for any reason they could to discredit this man. Any reason. They just had to have some reason to discredit Daniel. What did Daniel do wrong? Nothing they could find. He was a person of his word. He didn't cheat on his taxes. He didn't gossip with the king. He was faithful under four different U.S. presidents. Oh, no, that's not right. I'm sorry. Under four different Babylonian leaders, kings, administrators, presidents if you wish, whatever you want to call them, but under four different leaders, he served God faithfully. And by the way, church, the same thing we ought to do as well, amen?
Amen, brother.
Listen, it does not matter who's in office, God's on the throne.
That's right.
And no matter what's who's in office, we need as followers of Jesus to have Manasseh. We need to stand up, stand out for the glory of God. So Daniel served God faithfully with integrity in Babylon. And his life demonstrated the truth that you may live in Babylon, but you don't have Babylon live in you. And so you may live in this world, but it doesn't mean you have to have the world live in you. It doesn't mean you have to roll into you. Amen. As follow Jesus, we will not, cannot, must not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Have to be. You may live in a culture that's growing dark, but that doesn't mean you have to have darkness inside of you. We can still be light that shines in darkness.
Amen.
So Daniel continued to live with integrity. The other two, remember there's three administrators here. Daniel and the other ones, they were jealous. What'd they do? They said to kiss up to the king. They sort of came out to the king and said, hey, King Darius, you know, you're the goat. You know, you're a living legend. And watch this, here's what happened. So they came to the king and said, king, you're like the greatest of all time. And then watch what happens. So the administrators and high officers went to the king and said, long live King Darius. We are all in agreement. We've all talked about it. We come together. We all in agreement. We administrators, officials, high officers, advisors, and governors. So that we're just the three. I mean, there's a bunch of them here. That the king should make a law that will strictly be enforced. Give orders that for the next 30 days, any person who prays anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown in the den of lions. And now, your majesty, issue the sign and sign this law so that it cannot be changed. An official of the Medes and the Persians that cannot be revoked. They went to the king and said, listen, I got this idea. Man king, you are so good. You are so right. You're the best. So let's make this law. The king says, you know what? I am the goat. So watch what he did. So King Darius signed the law. Done. Official. Can't be revoked. The king says, man, you guys, you sucked up pretty good. And he said, venerate priests to anyone but the king, next 30 days, they throw in a lion's den. And what's Daniel do? What would you do if the decree tells you that it's something different than what God tells you? Daniel loved God.
That's right.
Amen. Daniel worshiped God. Daniel served God faithfully. God. Daniel talked about God. Daniel had an impact on kings in the area. Daniel, I mean, all that stuff was there, right? And now Daniel's forbidden to talk to God. He had three options. The law says, next 30 days, no praying to God. Option one, he can stop praying. He can take a sabbatical, say, you know what, I prayed all this time before, I'm just gonna take a sabbatical 30 days, not pray for 30 days, that's an option, it's probably the best one, but hey, it's an option. After all, you know, if I do pray and they find out, I'm dead. And I'd rather have a ministry, I can have a ministry when I'm alive, it's kind of hard to have when I'm dead. So, yeah, I can stop praying, that's option one. Option two, I'll trick them. I'll pray silently. They'll never know. I'll just like pray my eyes open. You know, after all, the Bible does say watch and pray. I mean, so I'll just pray my eyes open. I'll just pray something. They'll never know. I'll just trick them and they'll never know I'm doing it. And you know, I'll be praying, but they won't even be aware of it. Option three, I can just keep doing what I've been doing. I can honor God. I can still just pray and as usual and be faithful to God as I've always been. That's option three. So which one's Daniel take? Option three.
That's right.
Daniel keeps praying and his enemies rat him out. And he's actually thrown in that lion's den. Now, if you know the story, does he die or does he live?
Yeah.
He lives. We know that. We got the book. Daniel didn't have the book. Do you think Daniel knew that he was going to be saved?
Yes.
From that lion's den? I don't think he had a clue. God didn't tell him, this is going to be okay, Daniel. And we don't read that anywhere. I'm not going to try to read it. We don't read that anywhere. We don't have where God says, okay, here's your burning bush experience. You know,
no, it's been, his faith was
all that Daniel has is faith in God. That's all he had. He didn't know for sure. I mean, there was no guarantee that he was going to live. None. Matter of fact, by law of nature, by the law of things, and by the way that things were, he's going to die. This was lions, after all. I mean, they were not like, you know, little tame little cats. Just, oh, nice kitty. You know, these were somebody just put in your lap and say, let's have dinner. You know, oh, time for eat. Okay, let's go. Here's a little, you know, chicken food for you, whatever. It's like, he didn't do that. He had no clue. He had no clue. And it's an incredible miracle. We know that. But he didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't know the miracle was in place. Let's just make this a little bit more personal. What would you do in a case like that? If you had those three options, not really sure if God was going to save you or not really sure if God was going to take care of that, not really sure if God was going to help you through it all. I mean, what option do you take?
Pray.
I mean, like, be faithful to God when you could cost your life? Because truth is, he didn't know that God was going to save him. Let me just tell you how the story could have ended. Could have ended.
No.
Lions, great meal, Daniel dead, end of story. That's how it could have ended. In fact, that's like most likely how it should have ended if he continued to pray. But in spite of knowing the consequences, in spite of knowing the potential dangers, he kept on praying anyway. So how do you have faith like Daniel? How do you have conviction in a culture of compromise? Number one, we serve God with integrity.
That's right.
Number two, we trust God with consistency. We trust God with consistency. We do what's right before God every day. We trust him with consistency.
Amen.
In fact, Daniel 6, verse 10 tells us this. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows were open toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. I love that. He got down on his knees, prayed, giving thanks to his God, just like he had done sometimes, and windows were open towards the holy city. Think about this. Daniel didn't wait to be thrown into the dens, the lion's den, before he started to pray. He didn't pray just in desperation. He prayed the good times and the bad.
That's right.
He learned to depend on God when things were well, and depending on things when things weren't going quite so well. He learned the importance and the necessity of prayer. You know, he sought God. He had faith and cried out to God. 3 times a day he was praying to God. So he did what he's already done. Now why does that matter? And believe me, it matters. Because it's not what you do occasionally that makes a difference. It's what you do consistently.
That's right.
This church, we will never walk in victory, live the abundant life Jesus gave us, feel that as close to God as we want to, and only if we only seek Him occasionally. If you wait until desperation is all you have, you probably waited too long. That's why it's important to read His Word, to spend time in prayer, to spend time with God, to be in a community of believers. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 18 tells us this. Rejoice.
Always.
Really? Always?
Yes.
But you don't know what hell I've gone through this week.
No.
And you can rejoice. I don't read that, but it's rejoice when you're feeling good. I don't say it says rejoice when things are going well. It says rejoice.
Always.
Pray.
Continually.
Give thanks in
all circumstances.
And that says, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You know what God's will is for your life? There you go.
That's right.
Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. That's God's will for your life. Now, easier said than done. Amen. Because we have, well, life that happens. And by the way, when that talk about pray continually, it's not talking about, you know, be on your knees and, you know, 24/7 and not get up and don't go to work and don't do anything, don't spend time with your family. That's not what it's talking about. Just talk about always have the presence of God on your heart and with your mind. That'd be the forethought of your heart and mind. So that when you need it, you're praying all the time. Listen, I pray at work all the time. I just, you know, go take for the day, and then I might go for a few seconds. Thank you for, you know, I mean, I'm praying consistently, and you know, always, not on my knees at work, you know, all the time. I'm just always praying continually to always have God's heart on my heart, His thoughts on my, hopefully His thoughts on my thoughts, so I can work my, go through my day and be blessed and let people see, be so distinguished that people take notice. Listen, the word is active, the word is living, it's powerful, it convicts you, it directs you, it gives out, it goes out before you to do the work and the will of God. We seek God in prayer, we fellowship with other believers, we pray for each other, that's what we do. So Daniel prayed, as he always prayed before. He's under attack, and what's his first message? What's his first response? Cry, run off and throw a fit. Post on Facebook, help me! No! Hear this, church. Our first response shouldn't be panic, it should be prayer.
That's right.
Now, if I'm being truthful, that's not always the first thing that happens.
Yeah, that's the truth.
All hell breaks loose in our life and we panic. We go crazy. We then try everything in our power to get to work out. We try to manipulate the situation, try to do everything, and then we say, oh, well, guess all I can do now is pray.
Help us, Lord.
And then I'm thinking, if I'm God, and I'm not, but if I'm God, that really hurts. All I can do now is pray. And God's thinking, well, it's about time. You panicked instead of prayer.
Right.
Listen, you don't have to panic because there is a God in heaven. In fact, there's another verse that's really, really, and Dan's pretty good. A lot of them are pretty good, but this is pretty good too. Check this out. Daniel chapter 2. He controls the course of world events. He removes removes kings and sets up other kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the scholars.
That's gone.
What do? We just stay connected to the vine. We stay connected to the one who gives life, and we live off the nourishment of God, knowing ultimately that He is in control.
That's right. Yes, He is.
So what does Andrew do? He prays. How does he pray? 3 times a day, get down on his knees and pray. I don't know what it is, but there's something about that posture of being on your knees. I don't know if it's the humility of it. I don't know if it just, I don't know what the reverence of it. I don't know what it is, but there's something about that that seems to move the heart of God. There's something that just seems to move that. And the thing Daniel is that it wasn't something he did just in desperation. It's something he did 3 times a day, whether things went well or not. It didn't matter what he did. God, I need your wisdom. I need your strength. I'm trusting you. And so he's on his knees asking God to help. And the thing about Daniel is that he stood before men because he knelt before God. Amen. See, Daniel could stand strong because he was kneeling, dependent on a good, good God. So what do? The world's gone crazy. How do we live by our convictions? We serve God with integrity, we trust God with consistency, and lastly, we honor God with faithfulness. So I mentioned Daniel's probably 80-ish in this story. And so for 80 years, God has been faithful to Daniel. For 80 years, through 4 different kings, and in a foreign land, stripped of everything that he knew, taken away out of his homeland, taken away out of his labor and his captivity, taken away from all that, ripped out of his town, taken from his family, maybe family dead, we don't even know, but indoctrinated in the Babylonian ways and their views. 80 years, after 80 years, God has been faithful to Daniel, and Daniel chooses to be faithful to God. Now, church, I really need to hear this. Check this out. If we are unfaithful, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny who He is.
That's right.
God's faithful.
Amen.
That's right.
I love that. I love that. It lets me know that even if I miss a day of Bible study, if I not be in faith and trusting Him, if I can't instead pray, if I, don't worship Him, pray to Him, read scripture, whatever, whenever I'm not faithful, God still is. He loves me in spite of me.
That's right.
And Daniel resolved, I'll trust God if He saves me, I'll trust God if He doesn't. So he prays. But here's the thing. King Darius, he didn't like Daniel. He was going to promote him. Remember, he was like, I like Daniel. He's trustworthy. He's faithful. He's not corrupt. He's not, I can't buy him out. He's a good guy. I liked him. But he's trapped. This king's not trapped. He was tricked into signing this law that could not be revoked. So, look what happened. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. He's like, Daniel, I got to do something. Maybe this king looked over at Daniel and without saying a word to him, sort of said, Daniel, why did you have to choose option 3? 2 would have been good. It would have been alright. Surely 2 would have been okay. 30 days! That's it, 30 days! But now my hands are tied. I can't do anything. I've got no choice. I've got to be a man of my word, and just like you are, and I've got no choice. I've got to throw in the lion's den. But before he does, maybe he leans over to Daniel and sort of whispers in his ears. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. And the king said to Daniel, may your God whom you serve continually rescue you. Daniel, I almost believe in your God. It's like when we hear in the book of Acts, almost. God persuades me to become a Christian. He's like, almost. He's like, maybe. May your God whom you serve faithfully continually rescue you. Because you're so disappointed that he had to go through this. This thing is better yet. Check this out. Then the king returned to his palace, spent the night without eating and without any entertainment. They brought him, and he could not sleep.
What?
Guilt. He really liked Daniel. King couldn't sleep all night because he was honestly worried about Daniel. No party, no TV, no scrolling Facebook. I mean, I'm hurt. I can't sleep. Turned his palace and spent the night without anything. Then it gets really exciting. Check this out. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice. Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to rescue you from the lions? It's like, break of dawn. Here come the king. And after a night of unrest, a night with the lions, Daniel, who at this time seems a little bit more vicious than the big old cats did, he comes out and he says this, my God sent his angel and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty. And the king, the king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found in him because he had trusted in his God.
Amen. Sorry.
Because Daniel honored God, he spiritually impacted four kings. And they all lived happily ever after. Well, all but. At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought into the den and thrown in the lion's den, along with their wives and children. Think about that. They didn't do anything wrong. They were just part of the family. See, if men back then, if you did something wrong, found themselves responsible. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. They didn't live happily ever after. George, come. It means better though. Check this out. Then King Darius wrote to all the nations and peoples of every language in all the earth. May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel, for he is a living God and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. That's awesome. King Darius, think about it, he issued a decree to everyone in the nation that people just not should, but must fear the God of Daniel. Wow. See, and listen, if his God can do that, then his God should be your God. If you recall from last week, who was the main character of the book of Daniel? It's God. It's God. God's main character of every book in the Bible. But every story in the book of the Bible also talks about Jesus, points to Jesus. And God's always the main character, but most every story points to Jesus. What's so rich and meaningful is that this story gives us a glimpse of Jesus. Check this out. Think about it. Just like Daniel men conspired against Jesus. Just like Daniel men set traps for Jesus. And just like Daniel, Jesus was falsely accused by his enemies. And just like Daniel, Jesus was condemned to die a violent death. And just like Daniel, he was put into a cave that was sealed so no human could intervene. And just like Daniel, Jesus walked out of that cave alive. Okay, a bit different here because he died and came back 3 days later. But you get the point. That's how good our God is. Yeah, that's how good our God is. There is a God in heaven. And he is faithful. No matter what you're going through today, no matter what happens this week, no matter what it might be, you can trust in the goodness of God. Because there is a God in heaven, and he is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our devotion. You can trust in God no matter what you're going through. No matter what's happening, you can trust in God. So Father, today we come to you. I know there are so many people right now, Father, that are going through so much. Here, online, in our world around us, at work, co-workers, whatever, they're just going through so much. The world just seems to be pulled in all sorts of directions. Help us put our trust in you. Your word says some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we will trust in the Lord our God. So Father, I just know there's a God in heaven that cares. There's a God in heaven who loves. There's a God in heaven who gives. So God, help us to live in this world with love for others, but never compromise our convictions. To stand firmly on your word, for we know your word is truth. Lord, help us today to be like Daniel, that will, other options might have been okay, but he chose to do just what he always had done, to honor you. So help us, God, to honor you with everything we do in our lives. Every word we speak, everything we do, God. I know I've not always done that well, but God, I just pray, help us, Heavenly Holy Spirit, renew in us. Teach us your ways. Help us to be like you. So that we might impact the world around us like Daniel did. We might impact the world and say, you know what? He's so distinguished. I know because of how he lives, but how he loves, that he's a disciple of Jesus. Help us, God, to honor you with everything we do. Whatever we speak, whatever we do, whatever we find our hands to do, God, let's do it for the glory of God. As representatives of Jesus. Let us represent you well. And Lord, I will give you the glory. I will give you the praise. For you are worthy of it all. And the church said,